Hi, this is The Simpsons, episode 2F32, round Springfield. I'm Al Jean, one of the showrunners for the episode.
This is Mike Reese, one of the other showrunners on the episode.
I'm Joshua Sternin, one of the writers of the episode.
I'm Jeffrey Ventimiglia, one of the other writers of the episode.
And I'm Steve Moore, the animation director of the episode.
This episode actually was one of two episodes that we did with the staff of The Critic, this other show we were doing. And the other episode of those two being A Star Is Burns. In this episode, we had thought that at this point in The Simpsons run, a main character had never passed away, and we thought that it would be a story we could really deal with a lot of emotions in. And we didn't want to have it be somebody, you know, like Mr. Burns, who we'd obviously want to see on the show again. So we thought, you know, everybody loved Bleeding Gums Murphy, and Ron Taylor is a great actor. So we decided that he would die and that we would deal with Lisa's grief.
I had been pulling for years to kill Marge's mom, but this was a better idea. I think it was Al's idea.
The original idea, yeah.
And what was funny is Bleeding Gums, he's in the credits every week. Even, you know, 12 years after we killed him, he's in the credits every week. And he's a, you know, we feel like he's a big member. You know, we killed off a big character, but I think he's only been in two other episodes.
One of those episodes was my first as an artist at all on The Simpsons, Moaning Lisa. So this was my first show that I directed, and so I felt it was kind of a nice bookend that he's an important character to me, and I appreciated getting the episode.
The other thing that's very tragic is actually four people who are guest stars in this episode have passed away, and not just Ron Taylor, also Steve Allen, Phil Hartman, and Doris Grau, who did voices in many episodes and was a regular voice on The Critic.
It's a real bloodbath, folks, so sit back and enjoy.
My fault. It was a Percodan. If you ask me, that stuff rots your brain. And I'll wait for my new sponsor. Percodan! Oh, crap!
What, are you ready for your history test?
Oh, you bet, Mom. Ask me anything.
Okay. Who was George Washington Carver?
Now, guys, we brought you in to do this episode, right? And
Yeah.
I think we handed you the story. In fact, all right, let me just mention, Al and I took credit on the story. Hey, did you have a writing credit? Did I miss
it? We had a teleplay credit.
Teleplay. It's something, you don't do it in TV, generally. You never take, the showrunners often conceive of stories, and they don't take story credit, and there's plenty of Simpsons episodes we thought of where we didn't take credit. We did it on this one, because we thought it was going to win all kinds of awards.
And then it didn't.
It didn't, but that was what we thought. It's death, and the black guy, and jazz, which we love so much, and it didn't win any awards, but we didn't. Did we take the money? Did you get the money?
We did get paid.
You did. Yeah. Well, I know you got the full payment. Or I don't think we took story money. We were just in it.
We were so noble.
We just wanted
those awards.
The money is gone now, so one way or the other, it doesn't really matter.
Simpson dies.
We're also absolved.
Now we're coming up on a line that, out of all the lines on The Simpsons, you know, probably got a little notoriety, you know, way in excess of its weight in the show, or what we thought at the time. It's where Groundskeeper Willie is teaching French and talks about cheese-eating surrender monkeys. And this is one of those lines where nobody can quite remember who said it, but there's a general consensus that it was probably Ken Keeler, who was one of the staff writers on the episode.
And you said how many hits?
As of today, 28,800 hits on Google on the phrase cheese-eating surrender monkeys. And I heard Janine Garofalo complaining about it just the other night, how only fascists use that.
Well, the thing is, too, you know, people go, oh, The Simpsons called the French cheese-eating surrender monkeys, as if, you know, the show has an editorial point of view and that this was our view of France during the, you know, run-up to the Iraq War. But actually, it's, you know, Willie being obnoxious, and I don't know what our philosophy is, but it certainly shocked me that this was something the Bush administration was using as their, you know, rallying cry.
We just wanted to go home and use it a joke there.
No, and I remember at the time, nobody said, that's such a memorable line, that will live in infamy.
I think I did say that when we invade Iraq in 2002, that we would use that a lot.
I think it tipped the balance. I think we wouldn't have gone to war had that phrase not been invented.
That music cue, by the way, I think that's our parody of the ER theme. I think we used it just once. Nobody really got what we were going for.
Hot dogs! Get your hot dogs here! Woohoo!
Okay, Bart. I will count to three, and you will be sound asleep. One, two...
This is already at least the second time people have watched an operation. You know, I think in Homer's Heart Attack show, we were in the same theater where they're watching Homer get operated on.
Snubs. Hey, I smell gas. Pleasant gas. Oh, night gas.
Bad doctor.
Yeah.
We've probably talked about this before, but Steve, on the lights up there, there's a backlighting to them, right? That gives it that
effect. Yeah, they,
Oh, this is wonderful.
We were trying to get that intense look. I don't know, Dr. Kildare or some 60s TV show.
Homer, please.
I just thought it was interesting. I think that's one of the only times that Dr. Nick and Dr. Hibbert ever actually did something together. Usually, Hibbert puts some distance between himself and Dr. Nick.
And I get to miss a week of school. Dr. Hibbert, can I have my
opinion? A very minor note, those little glints are added after the animation is done. We do put them on in post-production. And then there's a little musical cue on it.
My dad was a doctor. He was sort of the medical consultant on this episode. And we knew we wanted Bart to get appendicitis. And we said, you can get it from some if he ate a piece of metal. And he just kept saying, you can't get it that way. It doesn't work. So
we just
so you can eat all the metal you want and it won't be a problem.
I think more people saw this episode than know him. I think we won that debate.
Sometimes we try hard to get it right. It's a little sad. I think we really put out a piece of bad information there.
I remember he said we shouldn't do it, and I said, shut up, you cheese-eating surrender monkey. Ironic, because he fought with the U.S. Army during World War II.
And he was lactose intolerant. And
as a writer, that was my favorite section because it was all flashbacks, so we didn't have to do anything. It was about a thing that happened. We're done.
And as a director, too. It's already been done. Lisa.
If people want to see what Ron Taylor looked like, I know he was a guest actor on the show Wise Guy for a while. They did a segment on the music industry. A very distinctive voice.
I'm a doctor. He used to laugh at the most inappropriate times.
Hey, I've got an older brother that I'll never see. He's a jazz musician or some such. Oh, well, bye-bye.
It must be awful to be all alone in the world.
I think I ran into him somewhere right before we did this episode, and I said, hey, we're bringing you back. And he was so excited, and I had to tell him, well, we're bringing you back to kill you.
I want you to have my saxophone.
I think we tried to base this guy on any number of old blues jazz guys from the 30s and 40s.
Well, when we came up with Bleeding Gums, I remember that the name Bleeding Gums, I thought would be a good parody of like Blind Lemon Jefferson. All those old, really old jazz guys had names like that.
A brilliant jazz musician who's inspired me to do some improv poetry. Twinkle, twinkle, groovy cat.
Oh, this actually, I believe, is Steve Allen's second appearance on The Simpsons.
Yeah.
We also had him say, I, Carumba, in separate vocations. But then later in his career, I believe he took out an ad saying the TV had gone downhill and so The Simpsons was one of the shows. So I guess he must have meant after he did a couple of guest shots.
All my money on my $1,500 a day habit.
And we tried to make that look like albums that you listen to when you're in college and you're staying up all night learning your craft.
I think this is Mike's joke, and what makes me really laugh is I saw a Fabergé egg display in a museum, and I didn't realize just how expensive it is. This happened is incredibly bad.
I think Joan Rivers was collecting them. That's what made me think of it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it is. You can't have a more expensive hobby than that.
We should give credit. That's Dan Castellaneta imitating Bill Cosby. And I think it's just a dead-on, hilarious impression. Really funny.
You know what the jails is all about, you see? Jails is like jail.
Of course, this is a parody on of the Cosby Show, how they would always have these different relatives who are always these jazz musicians that Bill liked that he'd bring on. And they couldn't really act out. You know, it's your great uncle Saul. And he'd just kind of like say a couple things.
Were we still on Thursday nights at this time?
I think that we moved to Sunday in season 6, but I could be wrong.
Yeah.
Because I think when The Critic came on, it was after The Simpsons, and it was definitely on a Sunday.
You're right. That's you're right. No, this is a residual malice.
Yeah, he was off the air. I mean, The Cosby Show was done. Sure. Well, it was a parody 3 years after the fact. And he was always publicly nice to our show. But other than that, perfect. Next question.
What about that little boy who got appendicitis from eating your cereal?
To prove that this metal O is harmless, I will personally eat one.
I do not know what
part. There's nothing. Ah, go! Yeah! Oh, boy! This thing is shredding my insides.
Crusty.
That's again Mike's dad.
Well, was it Josh? You actually had appendicitis.
I did.
And how did you get it?
I think it was a Jagged Metal cereal.
My teeth so I can play just like you.
Oh, Lisa, honey, music comes from what's in your heart, yeah. Not what's in your heart. Come on.
Took a long time to get that to look that way. Gross but clear.
I remember when we were pitching this, one thing attracted us to doing this story was to have Lisa sing Jazz Man. You know, she just has such a beautiful voice. And this is one of my favorite songs. I just think it's always just really heartbreaking to hear it.
And again, that much less writing.
Well, you know, the show was a little longer then, so you could actually take the time to do something like this. You know, we really spent a lot of time in the show on this song.
Jazz is affecting all the technology.
They don't think they allow jazz in hospitals anymore.
Hey, Mo, what do you give me for an AA chip?
One thing I have to admit, too, I couldn't tell you the difference between a tenor and a baritone sax. Even though people always go, I think Lisa's a tenor, but I don't know.
She's normally supposed to be a baritone, but for this, we downsized her saxophone a little bit.
And I wrote Lisa's sax, so yeah. I really should know.
And that was your brother consulting on that one.
My brother who plays the saxophone, that's right.
We ignore our family. That's why we're comedy writers.
Well, I have learned that most of the orchestra is having their appendixes removed, so without further ado, I give you...
That doesn't even make sense.
Field Elementary School Orchestra. On saxophone, Lisa Simpson. On triangle, Martin Prince. And with a flute up his nose, Ralph Wiggum.
That's some nice floating, boy.
They will be playing Stars and Stripes Forever. Hopefully not forever.
It's a lot easier to just draw three people in your orchestra than a whole one.
This sucks!
Tough crowd.
Her own grandfather. Cruise.
Hey, Feeding Gums! I was great! And I owe it all to...
This reminds me of the movie Ray, the biography of Ray Charles, where it had that movie turnaround where people are unhappy in the audience and Ray starts playing, and within 2 seconds, they're all dancing. Yeah. It was the fastest I ever saw.
So that should have been the act break, right? Somebody... I think everybody realized afterwards you should be watching a commercial right now.
Oh, and I never got to tell him how I felt.
Oh, I'm sure he knew. And I'm sure that wherever he is now, he's happy.
But he was the only person who had the same love for music that I do. Thank you. Oh, Dad, why did he have to die?
Well, I guess Lisa must have his saxophone somewhere.
I also thought that it was always difficult, going to be difficult at the Reed coming back from being so sad.
Yeah.
I just didn't know how we'd ever get back to making comedy after you're just so depressed.
Oh, I blew it again. What?
You guys, what had you done up to this point? Was this you?
This was
just...
our second script ever. The only other thing we'd ever done is the first Critic episode.
Wow.
And we couldn't believe, because we've been fans of The Simpsons forever, that we got to put words in their mouth. I mean, it's as a fan, you're thinking, oh, my God, he's saying do, and I told him to.
We had the same feeling. I'm not kidding. When we were on ALF, we wrote worked on an episode where they had the cast of Gilligan's Island, and just to, like, write a line for Gilligan was really exciting.
Maybe I need to talk to somebody with a little more age and wisdom.
Death! Stop!
I bet that's a very early taser joke. I think that was new technology at the time.
We could have made the butterfly in the gas can the act break. Many different choices could be turned up.
Oh, yeah. You know, at my age, the mind starts playing tricks. Death!
That's only the cat.
Oh. Death!
That's Maggie again, Grandpa.
Oh, where were we? Death!
How come it won't stop hurting?
please?
Remember, we originally did those pullouts very quickly and dramatically, and David Silverman suggested just to do it very slowly because he's having this huge reaction to this very mundane thing and thought it worked very well. It's like his overreaction, and oh, it's just a cat, a baby.
That also would have been a good act break.
Don't tell that to Fox. They'll be giving us 8 act breaks now.
This is always a running thing, too, where Homer has tattoos or things, clearly, that you never see. Wristwatches when we need them. Only when the joke calls for them.
We are gathered here today to bid farewell to Blood and Guts Murphy.
No. And the other Simpsons go. Yeah,
they're standing off to the side.
Oh, don't worry.
He was quite the sousaphone player.
Saxophone! He was a jazz musician!
Also, that's a pretty festive hat to wear to a funeral.
He was a great man, and I won't rest until all of Springfield knows the name of Bleeding Gums Murphy.
And I won't rest until I've gotten a hot dog.
Homer, this is a cemetery.
Hot dog! Get your hot dogs here!
They really should have sat down.
Yeah, they didn't want to sit for the funeral, I guess.
One thing that we always like to do, Mike and I, is do episodes that centered on Lisa because you do get such a great emotional connection to that voice and that character. You know, it's just, she's so sweet, you're on her side immediately.
Of course, my legal fees.
What kind of legal fees?
Well, for a case this complex, I had to assemble a crack team of lawyers.
Runner of the Walking Dead.
Yeah. A very wonderful man. Very, yeah. Very, very funny.
How much of the $100,000 do I get?
Oh.
Well, we can see when this was...
Yeah.
What is this?
It was the famous trial of the 1990s. Yeah. That was satirized.
I can't believe it. $500! Oh, just think what I can do with that.
Those are good caricatures.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, is that a Bronco? Because a lot of people thought that was,
a Bronco.
It was.
It
yeah.
was.
We
hey,
made
well
it a white
good.
Bronco.
One thing I can say, too, about the time that this was produced... Or a little earlier is when the famous car chase occurred, and we were working on the Critic right down the street from the freeway. We could see all these helicopters go by. I remember thinking we should have run to the overpass with a sign reading, Watch the Critic.
Well, everyone else was saying, Go, OJ, go.
I had a little lamb.
Okay, then this.
That's the same thing. It just replaced these with twos.
No!
Hi, I have a request. I would like you to do a tribute to Bleeding Gums Murphy, please.
No, I'd love to, little sister, but we don't have his album.
What if I could find it?
Well, I'd spin it for you. But, you know, ain't no one going to hear it. Our broadcast radio.
Someone told me this guy was...
Church Chat?
What's that? Is he our DJ from Church Chat?
It might have been. You know, Harry does a lot of really, like, mellow DJ guys. I believe, too, when Lisa had her test that indicated her fingers were too stubby to play the saxophone,
yeah.
That was the voice of the guy.
I was told that character was somewhat based on David Merkin.
Really?
When we did the show as a
really?
Design. Yeah.
Oh, not to my knowledge, but these things that happen, I never...
Well, just a rumor, and I'm passing it along.
He's dead? Well, why didn't you say so?
Now I can explain something that I'm sure mystifies the present day. There's a thing called Pogs that I believe stood for pineapple, orange, guava that used to be collected and played with in Hawaii and became this fad popular across America in the 1990s. People were collecting them and...
It was so huge. It's so huge and so puzzling now. Like
no
I would
one
say,
remembers.
Like no other kind of timely reference we've done in the show. It stands up to time so poorly.
I actually think it was one of the biggest things at the time, and by the time it aired, no one had heard of them.
Well, we hadn't even heard of it at the time because we didn't have kids. Now we do, and they've never heard of it.
So. We really, it was a good thing Bart bought the album, because I think the Pog would have been worth about a penny now.
Bart, I can't believe it. But why?
When I said my stomach hurt, you were the only one who believed me.
Oh, thank you. But $500? You'll never see that much money again.
Oh, yeah? Take a look at this.
As you can see, this whole show is just designed to insult those cheese-eating French.
I want to give the show an award right now.
Well, you know, what's funny, too, is that the movie, that the show is slightly based on the movie Round Midnight, which is set in Paris, I believe. It's about an American jazz musician, and the French revere him when the Americans don't.
Martin Archer... brother of the great Simpson director Wes Archer, did all most of the animation on this scene where the clouds and stuff coming up, and I always thought it was a really beautiful and sensitive job that he did.
Oh, that's nice. Hey,
so now we kill someone else.
Yeah.
He's not worried where the poison gas bottle is headed.
Oh, dear. Yeah, this is really pretty.
That was for you, Bleeding Gums.
Actually, we have another timely joke coming up here that nobody gets.
Well, are you talking about The Lion King?
Yeah.
The joke there was that The Lion King is very similar to this cartoon we watched as kids called Kimba the White Lion, and The Lion King was named Simba, and both the show and the movie, the fathers were killed. There was, I believe, a baboon that was the, old wise man. And
yeah, there was. Yeah.
Very similar elements, so that's what that joke refers to.
Oh, what the heck? Bleeding Gums' beard looks like the jagged thing that,
the jagged metal of. We're also trying to put symbolism in wherever we can.
Yep.
See, more stuff we didn't have to write.
We probably didn't deserve the whole check anyway.
Was it easy to write? How was it?
It was a blast to write. I loved writing The Simpsons. I think it was one of the most fun things we've ever written.
Yeah, that was back when we were young and full of hope.
How old were you guys?
27, I think.
Yeah,
I was
28.
Oh, okay. You weren't such kids.
Maybe we should ask Carol King how easy it was to write Jasmine.
This was my first episode that I directed, and I had been so stressing trying to get a directing gig on this show. It was, something that I'd worked on for a long time, and when I finally got it, I just thought, oh, God, the sixth season, how many more years are they going to go? This will probably be the only show I do. And now I'm doing probably my 30th, plus 30th.
You're 30.
And I still feel that way.
Wow.
Only done
now
30.
This is the coolest credit we have, I think. I mean, we've done the 70 show and Third Rock from the Sun, but this is the one, if you say you've done a Simpsons, that means something.
Suddenly people pay attention.